So an easy fix with that is you can go over to Home Depot or Lowe's or any of those kind of places and pick up knobs or actually handles that will you can replace the knob with. And what that would allow our moms and dads to do is be able to put their fingers into a loop. You know, basically, if you have a handle, now they can loop their finger behind it and open the door or the drawer a lot easier than trying to manage with me. But it certainly can be done. And, you know, I think mom and dad can appreciate that. Now, at the same time, the doors that they're opening and closing in their homes, it could be difficult just because of the handle also, which is usually rounded or even, sometimes they're a ball and sometimes they're more like a flattened, like we call it the Plymouth, door handle, or doorknob, that you'll find, you know, through Kwikset and, Schlage, which are the two major door, handle and knob manufacturers. But we could certainly replace those quite easily with a handle set, so an actual lever that you can allow your hand to get around and grasp onto a lever and push down or pull up if that's necessary. And that would provide a lot of comfort and ability for them to be able to open and pull that door. Especially the front door and usually the garage entry door, which is a fire door. Those doors have a little bit more resistance to them because of the weather stripping. You know, the front door, if you have a screen door or like a storm door with glass on it in front of the door, when you go to pull it open from the interior, there's a suction and it even makes it more difficult to pull. Yeah, there's resistance. And, you know, when you're frail and, you know, maybe not necessarily very balanced on your legs, that extra pull can be a little difficult. And so a handle or a lever could provide that extra little bit of grasping or ability to hold on to that handle and keep them straight too. And it's the same thing. The garage door, entry door is usually a fire door, and therefore there are spring-activated hinges that self-close the door once you open it on purpose for fire reasons, you know, and for carbon monoxide too. So that door can sometimes swing back very quickly in the way of them trying to move through the door and hit them. Or so if they have an ability to hang on to something or grab it properly, that's always a benefit. And those are the easy kind of fixes. You don't have to re-drill a hole in the door or anything. It's just a matter of taking off the original rounded doorknob and put in levers, lever style. And some are very straight. Those are the kind of more modern style ones. And then you have the ones that have a little bit of a slant or a loop on it. All of them are very ergonomic. If you want, you can get your hand around it and grasp onto that handle. So that's, you know, that's an easy one, folks. I mean, that could be so easily remedied in the house if you're just thinking about it, you know. And it could be even just one or two of the doors. You don't have to replace maybe all of them in the house, but maybe having one or two of the more important doors that open and close all day is the way to go. And they range about $25 for a set, $30. It's not that expensive, depending on what finish you get, you know. While I'm talking about doors, and I alluded to the fact that, you know, the garage door has these spring-operated hinges that create the ability for the door, we call it self-closing, which can be a little bit of a danger, you know, because if it slams closed too fast and you're in the, you know, the mom and dad are in the midst of trying to walk through, you know, it could hit them and actually knock them off balance. They sell door opening kits, automated door opening kits. So think about, you know, when you go to the grocery store or any kind of perhaps a medical building or something like that, and you hit a little button on the outside and the door automatically opens for you, you can do the same thing in your home. Obviously, it's going to cost a little bit of money to do it that way, but think about that as an option, especially if they're wheelchair bound. That's an option that they would probably need, is hit a button, you know, on the wall, and the door will automatically open up completely to allow them to wheel through. Things that are, you know, now very accessible on the residential market, in the residential market, and can really, really change the way that mom and dad could be living in their homes for the better. So think about that too. While I'm on the topic of grabbing things, the one thing we always think about with mom and dad to try to, you know, give them a little bit more of a safety factor is those grab bars. You know, usually you'll see them in the bathroom, in the shower stall or the bathtub, maybe right beside the toilet area. And they look, usually they look very industrial, very ugly looking. They're kind of silver, you know, could be chrome or like a brushed nickel finish. But that's what you see when you go to a hospital. It looks ugly. Now, Kohler and what's the other company? I know this American Standard. Those companies, if you go to a Lowe's or a Home Depot, you will find some pretty fancy designer-looking grab bars that that actually look pretty nice. They do fit better in the bathroom, you know, a nicer-looking master bedroom or bathroom. I propose that, you know, you should have as many as you need to be able to get in there and be able to hold on to things in the right place, and not just to have those bars put wherever they are, but have the person that is installing it for you really, you know, interact with mom and dad to ask them, you know, are you right-handed? Are you left-handed? Which hand is stronger? When you do enter into the shower stall, hopefully, you know, and it's not a big step up to be able to get over the lip of the shower, you know, do you tend to have to hold on to the shower door? And if that's the case, that's not the proper way to do it, because that shower door is precarious. I mean, it's made out of glass. It can shatter if it's flexed the wrong way. So you need to be able to understand where the touch points are, where they want to put their arm or their hand to stabilize themselves, and that's where a bar is going to be, is going to live, is to where you need to install that. So, you know, on a typical install for me, I look at the fact that you probably want at least one bar on the exterior part of the shower, even before they get in, so that they can hold on perhaps with their left hand as they're entering, as they're putting their foot over the threshold. So they have one foot still on the floor inside, on the bathroom side, on the tile, whatever it is. And then the other foot is now going into the shower area, the shower pan, and they're grasping a bar on the exterior part of the shower. Now, as they put their foot into the shower area, there should be a bar that they can now grab with the other arm that's available to grab onto a bar before they let go of the other one, which is on the exterior, and then they can lift the second leg into the shower area. Once they're in the shower, they may have to actually reorient themselves, turn themselves around 180 degrees to be facing the shower. But at that point, you know, it's a matter of transferring one grasp, let go, and grasp the other, the same bar maybe. Or perhaps you may have to have two bars, one bar on opposite walls. So that way, when they do the turn, they'll be able to at least be holding on to one bar, even though they're turning with the other one, and the other one may not be holding on to anything. And the point really is to make sure that they're holding on to something at all times with either the right or left hand, so that they feel that security. And it's you know, a pretty good idea to think about putting in one of those little shower seats. And those things are readily available at Walmart, or you can go to one of those medical supply places and they can suit you up with, you know, different styles, different heights, different, dynamics of how you're going to sit down onto this chair, you know. It could be just a little round stool, or it could be a longish rectangular style, like almost like a banana seat kind of thing that you can sit on. So I encourage you to, you know, look into that too. They have suction cups on the bottom so they don't slip around. Easy stuff that you can just add in there, you know. But make sure that they don't try to grab onto the soap dish or things like that. I mean, I don't know how many of those ceramic soap dishes I replace every year because, well, quite frankly, some people, they use it as a footstool to be able to shave, and they shatter, they break. And then you have shards all over the place because that stuff is sharp when it breaks. So, you know, that's just not the right way to look at it when it comes to that. So grab bars in the shower area, bathroom, even like closer to the door as you're walking into the bathroom. If you can find ideal locations where they can put their arm out and hold on to extend and then walk into the bathroom and then perhaps go towards the toilet, and there might be one there as they're trying to, you know, bend down. They can be holding on to something sturdy on either side of the toilet, you know. And, you know, on that same idea, the toilets that they're manufacturing now are worth looking into. They have the what they would call the easy rest, I guess they're called. But the height is a lot higher now. So, the standard toilet is something around 16 inches off the floor. Now you can get ones that are like 21 inches and even a little higher than that, so that you don't have to really bend down as far as you needed. You would have used to have been able to. And that's just easier on the joints. So, you know, having a plumber come in to pop off the old toilet and put on a new one is always a good idea. And quite frankly, I would say most plumbers would now say that, you know, after about 10 years of service, you want to consider perhaps changing out that fixture, the whole toilet, because they're quite frankly just not made as well as they were 40 years ago. You know, we're talking about the way that they were glazed. The outside may look all nice, but the interior may have not been glazed properly, and that lack of glazing is how water can actually penetrate through the ceramic, through the uncured, I guess, ceramic, and create perhaps a problem that will break the tank at one point. And when I talk about breaking, it actually cracks in half, and the water spills all over the floor. There are many, you know, scenarios involved with that. So that's something to consider too. And especially if you are going to change it, then change it to a higher height, you know, comfort height. That's what they call it. Okay. So we've talked about grab handles. We've talked about cabinet doors and handles. And we have plenty of other things here. And I'll just quickly tell you about the other areas we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about stairways. We're going to talk about lighting. We're going to talk about the minimum requirement for passageways and door frames. You know, if you are in a wheelchair, what is a good amount of space to be able to wheel your chair through a doorway? And I want to talk a little bit about security too, and I think we'll talk about that right now. You know, the advent of these Wi-Fi cameras that we're now really getting used to, my generation, but even the generation before me. So, you know, I'm Gen X, so we're talking about the Generation Y, millennials and all that. They're really into, you know, being able to have visual access to what's going on in their homes. And it's so easy to do now with these little eyeball cameras. You can set up cameras to be looking in internally in your home. You know, a lot of people are aware of the fact that there are video cameras that you can put on the exterior of your house to be able to see who's coming into your driveway, onto your property. It could be, you know, the UPS man or the postman, or it could be someone that's not supposed to be there, you know. And the fact that these little cameras will alert you to the fact through your smartphone, you know, they wake up basically when they see motion. They're motion detectable, and you get a ping on your phone that says, hey, something's happening. We've seen something on this camera. You click a one of the apps on your phone, and all of a sudden you're watching live what's going on. So I propose, why can't you do the same thing for mom and dad? Set up a couple of cameras, you know, maybe in the living room, in the kitchen area, where you could see them passing through if they're going into the kitchen to open up the refrigerator, or if they're sitting on the couch watching TV. You know, the peace of mind from the point of view of the child, myself, the son or the daughter, being able to see mom and dad, you know, once or twice a day on video, on a video camera, and know that they're okay. If you see them limping or something like that, you know that maybe something's up and maybe you need to make a trip over there to see what's going on. But the fact that, you know, they're mobile and they're doing something in the home is a little bit of a peace of mind. That technology, too, can be used, you know, for security reasons. So, like, a Ring doorbell will alert you to the fact that someone might be trying to, you know, gain access to the house. Or, you know, with all these scams going on, people ringing doorbells and pretending to be something that they're not to gain access into the house and rob you. You know, it would be nice to be able to know that you can be guarding your parents through this video technology that we have now. It's also a neat thing because you can all these technologies will talk to each other. So now you have the ability to perhaps set up the thermostat on a Wi-Fi network, so that you know that your mom and dad are, the furnace is working, you know, and that the temperature is 73 or 75 degrees in the house, or, you know, in the summertime, the air conditioning is running around 70 degrees and they're comfortable. God forbid, you know, the furnace breaks on a very cold day in the wintertime and they are not able to contact a service person to come and repair the furnace, or maybe they don't even know that the furnace went out and all they do is put on a second or third sweater, and maybe they're all, you know, they're putting gloves on their hands too to stay warm and they don't understand why it's cold. If your smartphone is attached to that thermostat and, you know, the smartphone telling you, hey, the temperature in the house is 68 and it should be 75, you know right away that you can respond to that as the son or daughter. Leaks down in the basement, you know, if the hot water tank were to fail and start leaking on the floor, you have these sensors now, moisture sensors that you can have on the floor that will pick that up right away and then ping your smartphone also and tell you, hey, there's something going on, there's water on the floor. Get there as quickly as possible to turn off the water. So we got to use that technology to our advantage, you know. So all those things, I think, are just, you know, we're living in a period of time where, you know, we can make our parents feel more comfortable and more safe in their home. So why not do it, you know? Let's talk also about ramps. How about ramps? So if your mom or dad is wheelchair bound, or perhaps needs a wheelchair to be able to leave the home, you know, maybe they have canes or they have a walker and they can still get around inside the home. But, you know, it just makes more sense, you know, when they do go on an outing, if they have to go to the doctor or anything, that, you know, you have that wheelchair possibility. Well, at that point, you're going to have to consider, you know, having ramps put it onto the home to make it a little easier for you. Perhaps you are the one that's actually bringing them to the doctors, or maybe you have someone else that does that for you. But consider also, you know, if there is a an emergency, you know, if you have to call 911 and you have to get the EMT or fire department out there to you know, rescue your mom or dad for any reason. I've had situations where, you know, I have a client that is not mobile at all, and you know, if there is a problem and needs to be rescued by, you know, the ambulance or anything like that, I know that the ambulance attendants are very very happy when they are able to use the ramp to be able to get up maybe 3 or 4 steps at the front door, instead of having to bring their gurney up there and then, you know, get the patient onto the, you know, the mobile bed and then bring them back out. And it just makes a, you know, the flow a lot easier in and out of the house. So that's not a bad thing to consider. Now, I've actually built ramps for people that were maybe just one step up, or maybe even just inches to cross over a threshold, you know. For instance, on the back door, we had a slider situation where, you know, it was a 6-foot slider, patio slider. And so when the slider opens, you have a 36-inch width, which will allow for you to get, you know, a wheelchair through. And we had built this little temporary ramp that could be taken off easily enough for the son that wants to bring his mom over to live at their house, you know, during the holidays and all that. And it just made it a lot easier for them to wheel her around the back of the house and then up. It was 3 stairs off the deck. So I made a ramp that made sense for that out of wood. And I've done that out of composite boards too. It's not a big deal. They're easily able to push the wheelchair up onto the deck and then get to the patio door, the slider. And then I just made a very small, very accessible wedge, if you want to call it that, so that the wheelchair would go over the threshold and arrive on the other side in the house. And that just gave them, you know, the efficiencies that they needed to be able to get mom there, you know, for the holidays and not worry about having to get her out of the wheelchair, you know, and carry her perhaps up the 3 or 4 stairs on the front, you know, the front stairs. Now, you know, if you want, if you know, if it is more a case where you, the mom or dad are in the chair permanently now, and we need to consider getting a serious kind of ramp, then you can rent these ramps. They're made out of aluminum now, and they're really quite mobile. And these, you know, usually the rental company also provides the service of the installation. And, you know, it could be very economic to do it that way, but also very convenient, you know, to be able to have something like that on the front of your house so that it allows for easy in and out access. And those don't have to be permitted. You know, there are some code, some municipalities, if you build a permanent structure, i.e. basically like you're building a deck, that's how they look at it from the code enforcer's point of view. So if you build a deck, then you have to pull the permits, they have to come and do the inspections, and, you know, it just drives the cost up, and it also makes it, it creates more of a longevity to be able to build this project. You know, it's not going to be done in one day. Whereas a lot of these rentals now, they can come and erect this thing in 3 hours, and you have a functional, very sturdy ramp that makes sense. So I encourage people to look at that, you know, that technology too. I've built ramps in garages, so you don't even see the ramp. Some people just aesthetically don't want to see a ramp. So they hit the button, open up the garage door, and the ramp starts right there at the threshold of the garage door, and spans, you know, 18 feet all the way to the door, the access door going into usually like a laundry room or whatever. And you need that space, because you can't just put a ramp on a particular angle and try to, you know, muscle your way up, because, you know, a wheelchair is pretty heavy, and then you have the weight of the person inside the wheelchair. So it has to be a very, very gradual slope to be able to get the person up there comfortably. Basically 1 inch for every foot. So 1 inch of rise, we'll call it, for every foot that you go out. So, you know, if you have 18 inches of height to be able to manage, think about the fact that the ramp is going to be 18 feet long. Okay? Hopefully that makes sense. Well, we're blowing through this hour. I'm telling you, I only have about 10 minutes left. So let's keep going on some of our ideas. Another idea, well, on the same idea as ramps, if you have ramps on the exterior of your house, then you've probably already thought of the fact that you need some kind of a lift. If you do have a home with a second floor and stairs to get up there to the bedrooms, then you're going to have some kind of a stair lift. And again, those are rentable. Those companies come in and they install, you know, those lifts. And I can tell you that is a godsend for some people to be able to be, you know, sit in a chair at the bottom of the stairs, hit the button, and it'll just whoosh them all the way up to the top landing safely, you know. And yes, I mean, there is a little bit of a disturbance from the point of view of how they install it. There are two ways to install those things. One is right into the stair tread. You know, so you're going to have holes, you know, once you remove that later on in the future, that will be a little difficult to mask. But if you do get the right person in to sand out, you know, the finish on those stairs and repair those little holes, basically just screw holes, you know, where the mounts were, it's very doable, you know, honestly, and for the convenience of what you're doing it for, well worth it. Now, you know, other people, the other system involves actually making rather big holes. And when I talk about a hole, it's probably about 4 inches by 4 inches round that they drill out of the drywall to be able to gain access to the studs back there. And then they actually are able to bolt this unit to the wall. So when this unit comes off the wall later on in the future, you have these big gaping holes in the drywall that have to be respackled. You basically get to fill in the hole and then spackle over it. So, yeah, there is a little bit of, you know, maintenance work involved with having to do that, because you're going to have to repaint the whole, you know, the whole hallway for that reason. But again, it's probably worth it, okay? Where are we now on our show here? For the sake of time, here's a few other tips and tricks that we always look at. And when I say we, I'm talking about Steve and myself, because what we try to do in our own businesses, and Steve will tell you this right away, he's all about safety, and he has both of us have soft spots for our seniors, you know, and we love to be able to assist them in any way, and I'm glad to do that. So, you know, Steve has offered many times to just go do a safety check for people. And sometimes being an official home inspector, you know, his demeanor and the way that he respects people just puts them at ease. And he's able to walk in instead of the son or the daughter, you know, nagging at their mom and dad about a smoke detector that's, you know, the battery's hanging out because it was beeping and hasn't been repaired. You know, Steve can come in and say, you know, that smoke detector needs to be repaired. Do you know that? And it hits home with authority a little bit better. And, you know, the parents understand that it's a safety issue. You know, you don't want a carbon monoxide detector that's not functional, you know, for many reasons. You know, you hate to hear that story about the elderly. And it's not just the elderly I'm saying this about. I mean, it could be anyone, especially with the cars that we have today where we don't even have a key. We just hit the button. But, you know, people are so busy, so distracted, they drive into the garage, they close the garage door, they get out of their car, and they forget to turn off the engine. And what happens is, and the engines, you know, the cars of today, you can barely hear the engine sometimes. But, you know, elderly people, if they're a little bit hard of hearing, they don't hear the engine on, they don't understand that it didn't turn off, and they go about their day, they, you know, go in their house, and you know, the whole garage is filling up with carbon monoxide. If you don't have that carbon monoxide detector in your house that's going off and making a lot of noise, you know, then it's detrimental. You know, that's the sad story behind those kind of things. So smoke detectors and carbon monoxide detectors, you know, some simple fire extinguishers in the right areas, you know, strategically located on the wall, bolted to the wall so that they can see them. If there is a small fire that occurs in the kitchen, they may be able to do something about it, you know, at least try to react to it. So those are the kind of things we look at. We look at tripping hazards, you know, carpets, loose carpets, you know, runners, things of that nature. Obviously, they can trip over them if, you know, the edge of the carpet is wrapping up a little bit, or not warped, but, you know, frayed on the ends. But, you know, also, you know, say you have wood stairs, oak treads on your staircases, and then you put a runner up the middle. And the runner is thick carpeting and, you know, lush carpeting. And you have one area that's still the slick surface of the wood. And 1 foot is, and you're thinking from the point of view of your mom and dad trying to get up the stairs. And 1 foot is on the carpet, 1 foot is not on the carpet. Now they're unbalanced. And that could create, you know, a tripping or a fall issue. And for that matter, as they're holding on to the handrails going up the stairs, they have to be sturdy. It has to be, a handrail has to be able to at least hold 200 pounds under extreme situations. So not just the fact that they're holding on to it, but what if they're falling and they grab it and they're successful at grabbing the handrail, but they're still falling and the momentum of their weight can pull the handrail and the fasteners right out of the wall. That's not what you want. You want to make sure that those are as tight and secure as possible. So other things that you need to think about from that point of view. The last thing I want to talk about, because we only have about a minute left, is lighting. You know, it's so important as you get older to be able to have bright light in your house. And I always say the best kind of lighting these days now is LED lights. And there is so much cool technology out there. You just have to go over to the home stores and see it. But if you need a little bit of expert help, go to a HESCO's or some kind of a lighting store, and they'll help you. Some of this technology now, it's very thin, it's easy to install, and there's no light bulbs anymore. So there's no worry about changing a light bulb or anything like that. It's just a matter of turning on the switch, and the diodes turn on, and they'll last 20, 30 years without any kind of maintenance at all. But it'll give you that light in the areas, you know, task lighting in the laundry room, in the kitchen, that is going to allow them to...
You're listening to WHCR-DB.
Sorry about that. I'm running out of time, obviously. It'll give them the light that they need to be able to see the things, you know. When you're using incandescent lights these days, the light is just not strong enough for their eyes to be able to see properly. So I've talked about a whole bunch of things. I mean, we were talking about like the Wi-Fi eyeball technology cameras. We've talked about ramps. We talked about door openers and door handles, toilet seats, grab bars. I hope I've given you something that you can think about when you go to mom and dad's house and you're looking around and seeing how can I help mom and dad out a little bit. Think of those things. You know, it might be very simple and it could certainly be something you can do as a DIY person yourself. But if you do need help, you can always give me a call. And I'd be certainly happy to help your mom and dad. So that's my show for today, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Steve will be back next week, and we're looking forward in the next couple of weeks. I think it'll be the March 8th show that we're going to do. We're going to do a radon gas show, and that'll be really important for a lot of people to know about radon and what it is and how important it is to be able to mitigate that out of your house if you do have radon. So stay tuned with us, folks, for the next episode next week. And again, Pat Gregory from Taskman Home Improvements. Our show is called Home Sweet Home with Steve and Pat. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Virginia's governor promises to remain in office despite widespread calls for his resignation. Ralph Northam is trying to distance himself from a racist photo in his 1984 medical school yearbook.
When I was confronted with the images yesterday, I was appalled that they appeared on my page, but I believe then and now that I am not either of the people